The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
This podcast is powered by SportsDrink, your digital water cooler.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Attention to Detail, the podcast. I'm your host, Coleman Ayers. There is no guest with me today. This is going to be one of those monologue or rant episodes where I just go on about a specific topic. Today, that topic is going to be my gym, Detail Miami, everything that went into making this dream a reality, the reasons why I wanted to do this in the first place, what I've learned from it, from a training lens, from a business lens, from a personal lens, and then a little bit about where we go from here, how we scale this business or are planning to scale this business, and the cool visions that we have for the future. So number one, I'm literally just sitting here thinking about everything that's gone into the process and how I can boil it down into 20 minutes. But number one will be a background, a very short abbreviated background on the gym and how the idea at least got planted, or how the seed got planted. So we'll take it back to, I would say, March 2020, right when COVID became COVID and everyone was shut down. We were all in our cribs just chilling. And at that time, it was not fun. But I think we all, or a lot of people at least, look back and see that as a very productive time that was needed for planning. And that's exactly how it was for me. I think that was the main period of time that I sat down and said, maybe this can be a reality. So during that time, March to whenever that was, May 2020, that's when I started to put together a extremely vague business plan. So it was not detailed at all. I didn't have any idea of everything that went into owning a gym or actually making that happen. But it was a start, right? It was different ways that I could make the business unique. It was different revenue streams. It was different expenses. Little did I know how many expenses there are, but just kind of a feasibility analysis. And that was the first seed for me to see, like, you know what, maybe this is doable. I'll come back to it, but I do have a decent foundation to start with. So fast forward a couple months, June-ish 2020, we're back outside. Everything just that it went to the back burner, right? After everyone can kind of chill and think during COVID, or when you're locked into your house during quarantine. But after that, it's like, we're back to our usual operations, sneaking in gyms, trying to scale the business, training a bunch of athletes. So it definitely hit the back burner at that point, which was okay because I was finding gym time. Wasn't ideal, which I'll talk about later, but we're making it work, right? Making content, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that goes on for a little bit. I think that was needed for me to really build some sort of business foundation, right? That next year or so, the rest of 2020 and then early 2021, I was just continuing to build a team around me, continuing to build relationships both in Miami and around the world as well, around the country. So that was needed. Get out, get different perspectives, grow the business a little bit. And then there came a time in early 2021 where it was like, all right, it's time. Like, I just kind of knew. And one of the big reasons here was freedom. Not only because I was paying to rent gyms for training, but I was paying to rent gyms for content. Wasn't the easiest thing in the world when every time you wanted to make an Instagram video, you either had to go to a park or even train, right? I was training high-level athletes, pro athletes at parks consistently. And again, that's not bad. It worked. Thank God I'm in Miami because it was warm and decent weather year round, but it's not scalable. So I kind of reached a point where between that, the training side of things, the content side of things, that really exposed me to this perspective where I'm like, you know what? I need this freedom to be able to go in the gym whenever I want to and film content, train, brainstorm, work on ideas, you know, have an HQ. So that independence or freedom was huge. I also realized at that point that I'm someone who, when I don't have like a risk at hand or something, a new engaging development, I almost get bored, which is good and bad. It can definitely hurt at times, but you know, my business had been growing pretty linearly for a little bit, but was plateauing a bit, training decent amount of athletes. Social media was doing solid, but I wanted a new challenge, right? And my thing has always been, I love training. It's my craft. I put so much into it. But at the same time, business to me is what I really want to carve a life out of. That's the business of training is something to me that's so engaging. It's so fun to be a part of, and it's fun to be on the forefront of. So that's when I realized that I needed this challenge to grow as a business person, as a trainer, but also as a human. Having such an endeavor like this at a young age, 22, was huge for me. I mean, I made mistakes through the process, which I'll talk about a little bit, but at the same time, you know, I knew that I was going to grow a lot through that process. So just taking that risk, throwing myself into the fire was number two. Number three was just different opportunities, or the third reason why why I knew it was time is just how many opportunities could come from it, right? When people see you have a gym, they know they can walk in whenever, right? That's your HQ. That's your thing. And with that come different events, come different people that walk in the gym. It's way more consistent. So opportunities just seem to pop up. And I'd heard that from a lot of people who have been there and done that in terms of the gyms. They have their own gyms. They're running them successfully. They're like, hey, when you have your own gym, things just happen, right? And not to say that that can't happen without it, because 99% of trainers don't have it. And a lot of guys and girls are absolutely killing it. But for me, I was feeling like it was a little stagnant, right? I needed some big breaks, and I wanted to create my own luck, so to speak. And by betting on myself, it would be a way for me to kind of create these opportunities, if that makes sense. And then lastly, I just wanted the consistency in my content, right? I was kind of tired of every single video being at a different gym, park, et cetera, and being able to kind of customize my aesthetic of my content was huge. Not the number one reason, of course, but this is something that went into the decision to really make it happen. So after that, again, I was kind of dialed in on making sure that this became a reality. So I threw together a much more comprehensive business plan. More so just kind of the pillars of that were expenses, revenue, doing a lot more research on the actual reality of this. So everything that goes into it, from the paint that you have to buy at the beginning to the furniture that you get, to the electric bill, to the everything that goes into it. Again, I still only really knew at that point like 60% of all that I know now in terms of expenses, but it was a decent start. Threw together all the streams of revenue, the realistic expectations of what I thought we could make happen, and then just different ways to, again, make the gym unique and something that we have a big vision. We're working towards a big vision, if that makes sense, rather than just, hey, we're opening up a gym and we're going to just run this until, I don't know, like whenever it stops being profitable or whenever we don't feel like it anymore. You know, that was kind of important for me to set a big vision for the gym, which I'll talk about at the end of the episode. But having that made me a lot more comfortable rather than just seeing it as kind of an indefinite business that we'll see where it goes. So after that business plan, I will accelerate an extremely long process here. That was probably late 2020, actually, but maybe early 2021. But I really was looking for 6-7 months before I found somewhere decent. So I would go somewhere that was perfect, visit it. Everything's amazing. Ceilings are high, perfect location. Put in an offer. Hey, we don't really want basketball courts here. You know, sometimes I would put in an offer and somebody else would get it and even open up another basketball court there just because they submitted an offer one day earlier. So it sucked. Like there are literally times where I went home from some of these visits to the warehouses or, you know, I'd get a call that it wasn't going to work out. And I would almost just say, F this, right? I'm like, you know, I can go without it. So there were some ups and downs for that, right? There were times where I was like, you know what? I don't even want to do this anymore. F this, it's over. Like, I was pretty down about it sometimes, especially because I truly felt like those breaks were going to come to me when this happened. And I'm not the type of person to just say, fuck this shit and not make it happen anymore. So persevered through it a little bit, definitely looked into at least 20, 30 warehouses, talked to so many people. Finally found this spot, just pure luck on the website LoopNet, and reached out. They had another spot, which is this one. I originally was looking at a different one down the street and negotiated this for 2 months, literally. So this was just an everyday process, right? My training definitely was suffering a little bit. I was still able to kind of maintain, but through this entire process, everything else became kind of watered down because I was so locked in on this, which isn't ideal, but eventually made it happen. Signed this lease in June of 2021. And from there was just constant work to getting it ready, right? Having the court put in, like I already had all the contacts of the people I would utilize for the court and buying the turf from, but we pretty much bootstrapped everything, not only in terms of funding, but in terms of resources and putting the gym together. We put the turf in, we put the weight room in, we painted all the walls. So it was a process, but I think I probably could have paid people to do those things. But for me, it was investing that time early was going to help me realize the magnitude of this. It was going to help me customize the exact way I wanted to. It was going to help me feel even more skin in the game if that was really needed. But it was also able to, or it allowed me to bring other people around, help out with the painting, the turf, and just start to build a team. I had some of my players help me. I had my guys from Mastery Hoops come down and help me as well. Had some of my future team members who came by, and I gave them kind of a test when we were like putting together the weight room or putting the turf in. So that was a process that I felt like we had to go through the first time around, was doing all this shit ourselves. And is the gym as professional as Sports Academy or some of these absolutely amazing facilities that you'll see? Probably not. I think it's really dope, but it also has that feel of like a homegrown gym, which is cool. So if you haven't seen it, it's 7,300 square feet, which means a full high school regulation court, turf, weight room, and then some offices. So we have a recovery room, my office, film content in there, and then a little front desk area. So put all that together, long story short, made it kind of available for use in August or September. That's when the court was done, you know, everything was ready to go, and we've been going strong since then. So that's a short, extremely short background of how it happened without some of the roller coaster moments that we went through. But it's now exposing me to so many new lessons. Every day you come in and it's funny. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. I used to just wake up in the morning, work out early, finish my workout by 7:30, sit down at my desk, do some work, unbothered. Now I walk in, there's a hole in the wall. There's something wrong every time. There's a light out. The toilet ain't working. There's always going to be something wrong. So I'll literally come in. I'll be like, bet, it's Monday morning. I'm so ready to get my workout and start the day. Oh, wait. 5 chairs are broken from our workout last night or something. So definitely not ideal in that sense. But from a personal level, I think that's helping me build the ability to just insulate my focus from everything else, where I can come in, I can take care of the shit that's going on in the gym, and then I can still lock in. And that was a process at first, right? My personal training suffered. I lost all my balance. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, I'm not dunking regularly like I was, simply because I'm not able to train as hard, right? I'm training probably 30 minutes a day instead of an hour on my own personal goals. But, you know, there are going to be sacrifices that have to be made. But I have started to learn how to insulate everything from all the work that goes on at the gym. Other things that it's opened my eyes to are, I mean, just the marketing side of things, right? Don't assume that just because you open up a gym, people are just going to flood in there. It's very calculated marketing. I've hired people to do that for me. I've hired a team, which is another huge step for me. I've been doing everything solo for years and years and years, 6-7 years pretty much, at By Any Means. And now we have a team of 4 or 5 individuals around the gym and around the business itself, that now I have to be a leader and make sure that these guys are always heading in the right direction and they feel comfortable. They feel like it's a place where they want to be forever, but you know, we're also moving in the right direction at a high speed. So becoming more of a leader, obviously just persevering through different things. That whole process at first showed me how much I really cared about what I do, because I think most people would have quit through that process. Not that they don't care as much, but it showed me every time that we fought through some of these difficulties, it was like, all right, maybe this is something that we're going to be doing the rest of our lives, in terms of our team. So it just kind of confirmed that as well. And then from a business perspective, it's just talking to way more people on a daily basis, people that come in the gym, people that want to rent the gym to film content, whatever it may be, like becoming a more social person. It's kind of forced me to do that. I've always been a little bit more of an introvert just through, you know, I like to be with a couple athletes, filming content, working on the business. But now I'm like, all right, well, I own a gym, it's a public place, people are coming in here, and now I feel like more of an extrovert. Plus I'm just more confident with what we do because we have this thing that's going on and we have some really cool things that are going on. So those are just a few of the many developments that I've made from a professional and from a personal point of view or perspective. But there are so many more to come too. Like I say all of this knowing that this is just the beginning of what we have going on, right? There are going to be way more difficulties. There are going to be way more successes that we will never imagine. And even when I give advice to people about how they can open up a gym, it's always with a grain of salt because this is the first time. We're not even a year in. It's been an amazing process. It's been a crazy but fun process. And it's still like 8 months in, which is crazy. It's wild that time has felt so long. Like I felt like I've been doing this my whole life. But again, I don't know everything about this, but I think this process has really taught me a lot. So moving forward now, it's we want to continue to differentiate the gym. We want to make sure that, yes, we are making this an accessible place for athletes in Miami, from youth to pros, to come get training, and not only training, but the highest level training, the most immersive training experience they can get, with recovery, with weight training, strength and conditioning, with the skill side, with their mindset, everything that they need, they can get it here. But we also want to continue to expand globally, right? I'm recording this episode right after we just finished a essentially a camp with two groups from France and Monaco. So they flew in. They got to experience everything that was going on in Miami, sightsee, see all the cool stuff, and then train with us. Train with American skills trainers, work on their English, play again. And this is probably the coolest part. They got to scrimmage against a travel team from down here in Miami. So they truly got the entire experience, which was unbelievably dope for them and cool for us because, I mean, there was a language barrier. That's something that we had to work through and improve on, but it's something that was challenging and helped us develop as a team. It was cool just to be able to expose these young athletes and kids to a completely different side of the world. So that's the stuff that we really want to continue to expand on, where it's like, yes, basketball in Miami is a huge focus for us and building the scene here. But at the same time, basketball is borderless, right? It's global, it's international, and it's growing more and more. And the more that we can truly expand into international markets and having athletes fly here or even consulting them with our content and any way that we can continue to expand out to the rest of the world, that's one of our big directions now, mainly because we want to even the playing field, right? In America and the States, not everyone, but chances are you probably have a pretty decent exposure to coaching and good coaching, good programs, access to gyms, online content where you can read this and understand it because you speak English, whereas people in other countries who don't speak English can't see much of the stuff that's being posted online from American skills trainers. So it's just the playing field isn't exactly level, which is understandable. America or the States has been the center of basketball. It's where it was founded. So of course it's going to grow here faster. But I think if we can build the international game and expose as many athletes as possible to high level information and training, that's one of the next big steps. And obviously we have this HQ in a really dope city, Miami. Why not try to work on that? So our vision is now multifactorial, right? Kill it in Miami, kill it internationally, use it to produce the most absolute fire content we possibly can, podcast programs, YouTube videos, everything that goes into it. But then also assisting others who want to build their own gyms and who want to build something similar to us in doing so, right? There's a big enough piece of the pie for everyone. And I've seen how much it's benefited my business. And I want to make sure that others can do that as well, whether that's in America, whether that's internationally, because with more gyms comes more basketball. With more basketball comes better levels of basketball. And when you get kids in gyms, chances are they're going to be doing some pretty good stuff in there, right? I would much rather have kids, as many kids as possible, hooping in a gym than, you know, the good old quote unquote on the streets or whatever you want to call it. So building the basketball culture, not only ourselves, but helping others do similar things what we've done so far will be huge, because and then it's a trickle down effect, right? You help more coaches build their business, then through that, more players enter that, more players get quality coaching, more players are successful. And then you see the entire game of basketball grow. So it may sound a little abstract. I don't want to give away all the sauce. No, I'm kidding. But it's again, I don't want to take up you guys' time giving you our entire business plan for the future. But that is some of the pillars that we're really locking in on over the next couple of years and making sure that we make an impact here as well. So that was a very short, accelerated version of what my gym is, how we got it, why I wanted to do it, how it's changed me, where we're going, all that good stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoyed. Hopefully I answered at least some of the questions. We actually just dropped a course on Mastery Hoops about getting your own gym. So if you're a coach or a trainer or even someone outside of the industry who's just really interested in investing in yourself and your business and getting your own gym, feel free to check that out. That is on our Mastery Hoops site, masteryhoops.com. And feel free to check out our Player Development Conference, which we're holding in April 2nd and 3rd in LA. Some great names there. Phil Handy, Mike G, Tim Martin will be speaking. That's myself and Tyler, Yorick, Trevor Ray. So a lot of guys who will really provide a lot of content. So I think that will be an amazing way for your coach or trainer to elevate your, not only your training IQ, but your training business. So again, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to hit me with any topics you want to hear me talk about. This is one that I actually got a few of last week, like I mentioned. So I figured I'd make an episode on it and just kind of ramble on about it. So feel free. I'm constantly taking guests and topic suggestions, and that's actually how most of my podcasts get done. So hit me up. You guys know where to find me. As always, thank you for tuning in. Let's get it.